morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. It is. Did y'all see what I just got to do? I sat the choir down. That is such power. Oh.
One hand.
And I did it with one hand. I didn't need two. I just did one. It's amazing. Oh, it's the little things. It's the little things. Yeah. Few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when it comes to you, please send it back to where it got started today. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for that. It's been a busy day already. Many in our congregation didn't have power. Some were able to make it, and we're thankful for that. Others are dealing with trees down and driveways, and so we ask your prayers and be good neighbors and checking on your neighbors and making sure if there are people in need that we be hands and feet of Christ as we go this day. Draw your attention to a few things. There are upcoming events, opportunities for the week. Just draw your attention to a couple of things. One adjustment, there are no music activities tonight, but there is a normal youth schedule starting at 5:30. But all the music activities are canceled for tonight. We have a beautiful rose on the organ. Baby Cobble is here. Now, this is going to take some practice, but it's a beautiful name, Svea. 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 I probably said that three different ways, but she is a beautiful baby girl. She was born January the 9th. It was almost January 8th. It was 12:18 after midnight on January the 9th. 8 pounds, 19 and a half inches. Jeremy, Lania, and Lachlan were happy for her to be here. She is beautiful and healthy, and they are home, and we are thankful to God for how he takes care of us from beginning to end and all through eternity. So we're excited for that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. It is a day when we celebrate communion. On those Sundays, at the end of the service, we also have our benevolence offering. This is for those who are willing and able. We will give to the benevolence offering as you leave worship today. That will be used for immediate needs that we get here in the church. So thank you for those who are able to be a part of that. Certainly no pressure as you leave, but those who are able, we invite you to participate in that benevolence offering. There are other things listed in your bulletin, but we invite you to read those. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this day. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to just raise your hand now, and the ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. You'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. We are so very blessed by your presence this day. You know, last night, about 10:30, we thought the walls were coming in, right? Trees were coming down. Some actually did come down. This morning, we wake up to sunshine. That God is the God who is above the clouds and stronger than the storm. He calms storms. He goes through the storm with us. That's the kind of God we serve. Not one who is absent. Not one who just says good things. He is one who came and dwelt among us. And that's true for you. And that's true for me. And because he gave everything, we come to give everything to him in this time of worship. Let us prepare for worship.
Thank you.
you pray with me? We want to come into your presence with everything that we have today. And Father, that's what you want from us. May we not hide from you. May we not keep secrets from you. May we be honest about how we feel and our struggles and our joys. May we be yours. Be in this place, we pray. Hear us as we worship you. See us as we lift your name. And may we listen to your voice. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. The kids, come on down. We've got a few down here. There we go. Good to see everybody. I need a crisscross. Everybody, crisscross applesauce right here. We have a very special day today. Do you see these things that are behind me? And these pretty containers. I want to show you a few things today. Ooh. What do you see there? Crackers? Look like crackers? Yeah. I want clam chowder every time we have communion. That's right. Well, I'll show you something else. Hope that doesn't fall. There we go. Now what do you see? Juice. Does it make you hungry? Yeah. You know what? This is a very important thing that we do. When you see this table out with these things on the top and you see the crackers and the juice, it's a very important thing that we do. This is not like when you go to lunch and you have all the food that you want to eat. It's just a little bit of food. But you know what? When we eat together, it could be Christmas. It could be your birthday. When you have a special meal, you make memories together, right? You remember those special things. When we have this very special meal, it's called the Lord's Supper. It's exactly what Jesus had with his friends to help them remember how much he loved them. And Jesus said, hey, y'all do this and remember me. So all of this is about doing what Jesus did. So when you see these things up here, and you're like, why is that there? We're going to have a meal together just like Jesus. That reminds me, I need to be just like Jesus, even when I'm eating, even when I'm playing, even when I'm upset. I want to be like Jesus in everything. Can you try to be like Jesus too? That's our goal for all of us, to be like Jesus. Will you pray with me? Everybody close your eyes. Bow your head. God, thank you so much for communion, the Lord's Supper. As Jesus taught his disciples to remember him, may we remember you and all that you have done for us, so that we can take that love and share it everywhere we go. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats. Good job. Come on, guys.
you join me as we pray together? Holy and loving God, as we have sung of your great love, we see before us the emblem of that great love. We see before us the gift of your Son and of our life and of our sustenance. We see before us the gifts that you have given to us in great and wonderful ways. We thank you, God, for that gift. We thank you for the gift of safety. We thank you for the gift of a place to gather. We thank you for the opportunity to gather. But moreover, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit that is already here and has welcomed us into this place. We thank you for the gift to come and offer to you our gifts, to bring to you our love, our adoration, our praise, and to remind ourselves that what we do here is about you and for you. So bless these gifts, O God. Bless and receive the gifts we offer in song and in thought and in prayer and in finances and in worship. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Tail is, you know what a tail, I'm not talking about a thing a dog wags, okay? In the South, that's a tail. Do you know what a tail is? A tail is something that if you're in the gambling world or everything else, people have a tail that's something that reveals what they're thinking or what they're doing, right? Jesus, actually, before he left us, he gave us a tail. It says, by this people will know that you're one of mine. And what was that tell? By how you love one another, right? By how you love. We've been talking about love all morning. You know, the song, the anthem, the love of God. If you'll look in the second or the middle of your order of service there down at the bottom, there's a beautiful quote. Once we have felt the power of God's love, the way he accepts us as his children, trusts us with the most precious message in the world, and heals us of the ugly effects of sin, we will never be the same. We will want to pass it on to others by responding to them in a way that will draw them closer to that love. He gave us a tell. We should be known by how we love one another, right? But yet, we need to be taught how to love, don't we? As children, we need to be taught how to love. And who are usually the first people to teach us that? Our parents. Yeah, our parents. My parents taught me how to love.
wasn't just with talk. It was with action. That is part of how I honor them and their legacy, is how they taught me how to love. My daddy loved people. He absolutely loved people. And for those of you who knew him, you know that. I mean, he genuinely just loved people. My mama loves people. She really loves people. And so as I think about God's love, and I think about the love that my daddy and my mama, but on today we'll talk about daddy, that he showed for me, I want you to understand something about my dad. He said from almost as young as I can remember, as we talked about church and as we talked about the things of church, he said, the youth of the church are not just the future, they are the present. Because he did not want them to be overlooked. In discussions and business meetings and all of that, he did not want them to be overlooked. And so that's one thing he instilled in me. And in a great deal, in a significant way, shaped my life. All of us are essential part of the body of Christ, right? Do you believe that? We're all essential. And the love that we show one another is our tell. It's how people will know that we belong to Jesus Christ. I've spent a lot of time this week reflecting on love. The love of a God for me, a love of my father and my mother for me, the love that hopefully I am reflecting to others, that I'm sharing with others, that, you know, as we went through the season of Advent, I knew that this day was coming, that when my father wouldn't be with me here, physically speaking. And as we went through those Sundays, I remember we went through hope, we went through peace, we went through joy, and then the last Sunday of Advent, we stopped with what? Love. I mean, it builds. It literally builds on one another, because those are the things that we as believers should be demonstrating for the world. That should be part of our tell, is the hope, the peace, the joy, the love that we demonstrate in our life. That's how people know that we are believers, we are Christ ones, we are Christians. And so as I reflected on that love, and then as we came to a week ago yesterday, as Sandra and I were driving north on 311, and we got the word that my dad had gone on into eternity, from that point on, I began to really reflect on this idea of love and what that looks like and how we share that. And an interesting thing happened in my processing of all of that. With the death of my father, it was completely different than when Carson died. And my grief process was similar and will continue to be similar, but there is a big difference. And I identified that, at least what I think it is that I'm experiencing, and that was that for Daddy was 90 years old. Daddy had lived a good life. He had touched and blessed a number of people that I can't, just the people that Philippa and I have heard from. It's amazing how many people he touched and blessed. But it was very natural. It made sense. He was miserable. He was making mom miserable. It was time to go on. It's time to go on. And he's better. He's more alive today than he's ever been. And he's great today. And it seems very natural when you say goodbye to a parent, right? That's the birth order. We're supposed to say goodbye to our parents. That's part of what happens. It seems so natural. And yes, there will be grief, and there is grief. But it makes sense. When you lose a child, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem natural. It seems backwards. Everything is unnatural feeling with that. And so as I pondered on that, I thought, how in the world could God love us that much that he gave not only his child, but his only child? I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I can relate to that. I try to, I want to, but I'll be honest with you, in a selfish moment, as much as I love all of you, I could never have given my son for you. Couldn't have done it. I'm sorry. It's a character flaw. I could not have done it. And yet, while we were yet, what? Sinners. That makes it even more unbelievable. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave up his only son for us, who none of us deserve it. That'll flip your if you got a strong justice streak in you, that'll flip it upside down. Because none of us deserve it. And not only did the Father choose to give up his son, which I have already admitted I could not have done, Jesus willingly gave his life for you, and he was without sin. He gave up his life for me, and I'm a sinner. These are all just musings of mine this week, but I knew we were coming to the table this morning. And I knew we were going to be talking about love. No greater love. But that's where we are. We use the word communion. What does that mean exactly? What does communion mean? It's what we do every Sunday morning, really. Honestly, right? We commune with God. Hopefully you commune with God on a regular basis, not just when you come in here, right? Because it's only when we commune with God, when we share our, when we pour out our heart to him and let him reach down and touch us and bless us and heal us, forgive us, it's only when we commune with God that we understand what it is that's supposed to come out of that process of communion. Our missions activity, blessing others, the things that we do, the things that we say, all of that should come out of our communion with God. Because in that time, we learn even more who God is and who he wants us to be, right? That is our communion with God. So we do that when we come together. Yes, I get that. But we should be doing that on a regular basis in our own lives. And yet when we come together, we also commune with who else? Yeah. The person beside you, the person across the aisle from you, people in front. We commune with one another. And God knows that that's important for us as well. Because just as we gain a sense of understanding from our communion with him, we also gain a sense of understanding in our communion with one another, don't we? Who we are together, who we are as the body, where all of us are needed, all of us are valued. We are the body of Christ. And as we commune with one another, we gain a better understanding of what it is we are to be and what it is we are to do when we walk out these doors. And we also understand that we're in it together, right? We don't have to do it under our own strength. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have the power and the support of each other. And so communion takes on a whole different meaning when we understand that we commune with God and we commune with one another. And out of those moments of communion comes an understanding of who we are and what we are to be about. So this morning, I challenge you. I challenge you as you commune with one another and as you commune with God to see this as a holy moment. But not just this moment, also every moment that you commune with God and you commune with one another. As you commune with the person down the street who may not be very lovable. As you commune with the person in the grocery store line who seems stressed and overwhelmed. As you commune, in a sense, with the person in front of you who doesn't see when the light turns green. How obvious can this be? As you commune with people, let the love of God be what directs your path. As we come to the table, we will commune with God and we'll commune with one another. I'll give you a couple of words of instruction. First of all, we practice open communion, which means if you're a believer, we welcome you. We want to commune with you. You don't have to be a member of College Park Baptist Church to commune with us this morning, okay? We welcome you. We're glad you're here with us. So feel free. Share in our communion time together. The other part of this is, as I try to remember to instruct us as we enter into a time of communion, our deacons here at the front, and I can tell you, these men and women have servants' hearts. They love God, they love people, they love you. And they want to serve you. And that is spiritually speaking, that's also physically speaking. So when they come to the end of your row, they are going to serve physically, literally, the first person in that row. And I invite you to do the same, to serve the person beside you. Don't just take your own and pass it on. Serve the person that's next in line. And in doing that, it's symbolic of our love for one another and our love for God as we serve God and serve one another. Okay?
Thank you.